believes more than just a story. He is the King of Glory. I'm glad
that I know who Jesus is.
Well, I'm glad
that I know who Jesus is. Well, I'm glad I know who Jesus is. He's more than a story.
He's more than just a story.
He is the King of Glory, and I'm glad that I know. One more time, sing it again. Why don't you stand to your feet and sing, I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Lord, I'm glad I know who Jesus is. He's more than just a story. He is the King of Glory, and I'm glad that I know who Jesus is. He's more than just a story. He's more than just a story. He is the King of Glory, and I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, I am so glad. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Let's go to 2 Peter 1 and 6 through 21, then 1 John 2 and 20. Thank you so much for coming this Tuesday night. 2 Peter 1, 16. For we have not followed cunning devised fables, made up stories from men, when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus. It may sound like a fable when we talk about the power of Jesus and him dying and coming. It sounds like a fairy tale. But he said, I want you to know we're not using cunningness to do this, but we're eyewitnesses of his majesty. I'm not trying to trick nobody. I am telling you what I saw with my eyes. I'm not trying to change your opinion about something I really don't know myself. I'm trying to convince you to believe what I saw. Ooh, hallelujah. For he received from God, he's going to talk about the Mount Transfiguration. He received from God the Father honor and glory when there was such a voice. Ooh, it was like thunder to him from an excellent glory, from a higher up glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And the rest of it said, hear ye him. And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. This is the time when they said, we'll make three tabernacles. Well, we saw Elijah. We saw Moses and Jesus Christ light brighter than a Christmas tree. It said it was like the noonday sun. Their garments was white as raiment, whiter than Fuller soap or Clorox, whatever. It was so white we couldn't even hardly look on it. We saw that. That was powerful. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Just believe me till you see and understand what we saw. Knowing this first, before you even believe me, know this, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. It wasn't just for me and James and John. I'm here to tell you of his glory. I'm here to tell you what I saw. I'm here to tell you that I could have been on Channel 7, Eyewitness Report. I saw what happened. For prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Wow, moved by the Holy Ghost. You got that other verse? I added this one right here. It said, but ye have an unction. An unction. A moving, something that, why am I doing that kind of thing? From the Holy One, and ye know all things. Wow, if he knows all things, we know all things. He said, well, Lord, we don't know the way. He said, follow me, you'll know the way. How long have I been with you? And say, you don't know the way? You don't know all things? You know him, you know all things. Hallelujah. I want to talk about moved by the Holy Ghost tonight. Lord, we come before you tonight realizing that, Lord, there's a lot of things that move us to do something. But, Lord, we only want to be moved in the right direction by the Holy Ghost. Teach us to understand your Spirit, Lord, and how it works in a man that we may live a life that is pleasing unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I will tell you, there's been times in my life I wish things I would have done different. And if I'd have known that they were going to turn out perhaps the way they did, I would have done them different. But I have to always fall back on this, the steps of a good man. And they're ordered of the Lord. And I hope that I was a good man. And there's times that, I feel like I failed the Lord. And I felt like I did not move in the spirit that I should have moved in. Some of you have shared stories with me that God moved on you to do this and you didn't do it. And man, I just wish I'd listened to the Lord. We all come short of moving with the Holy Ghost because we're carnal. But we should live a life. There's been episodes where we maybe missed it, but we should live an overall life of being moved by the Holy Ghost. And have you ever done something? You say, why did I do that? Why am I even thinking that? What made me do that? And you know what? Every time you move, something prompted you to move, whether you know it or understand it or not. Something made you. We are creatures of reaction. You're reacting to something that made you move, whether it be physical or mental or something that made you think about something else. It's something happened, and inside of you, the wheels begin to turn, and you begin to move or to think about something. It's not without cause that you move, right? If you may not even know that you something's itching right here, but something about you is just your body tells you, you wasn't thinking about it. How many of y'all think about yawning? Well, I think I'm going to yawn in about 2 minutes. I'm going to yawn in about 2 minutes. No, you don't even think about it. Now, one trick I've done, this works really good, y'all. Sit at the red light by somebody and go. It won't be before the light changes. They're going to go. You move them by what you did. You know, that works. It works. It's the power of suggestion. And so when you move, there's always something that makes you move. Amen. You even look at the Spirit. The Spirit moves with cause. It moves with cause. Even David said, is there not a cause? Shouldn't I be stirred up like I'm stirred up? So when we look at Scripture, even in the very beginning, the Lord created the heavens and earth. In the beginning was, the Lord made heaven and earth. But then it says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Why did the Spirit move? Why did it move? Well, because there was darkness. Because there was voidness. If there had been light already, it wouldn't have moved in that capacity. But it moved as a reaction to what it saw. It saw the darkness. It saw the emptiness. And it, I better move. And the Lord moved upon the face of the waters. And he began to make a creation. He said, let there be light. And immediately there was light. And the Spirit of the Lord moved because of the situation. If you want God to move on your behalf, remind him of the situation. Remind him of the situation. You say, well, he knows all about it. I heard my dad say one time when he's preaching, he talked about a man that said, well, I'm praying the same old prayers. I'm just going to write them all down. And when I get ready to go to bed, I'm going to tack them on my bedpost and say, Lord, there they are right there. I'm going to bed. He knows them anyway. There they are, Lord. That's not how this works, y'all. You have to bring them to him and make, even though he knows, he wants to be prayed to. Amen. And so whether your brain moves, whether you know it or not, subconsciously. You know, they had to remove subliminal advertising off of TV because it was so effective. That's just that little bloop, and it goes by, and you're like, you'd seen all these other commercials, you didn't pay any attention, but that little bloop, what was that? Did you catch that number? What are they? And it got your interest up. It stimulated your interest because you didn't get the complete story. And that's what people, how they gossip. I'm serious. They gossip the same way. Just give you a little bloop. I wouldn't trust him if I was you. Bloop. That's all they do. It's just subliminal. And you're like, you can't trust that guy. I'm telling you. Well, what did he do? I don't know, but he did something. And that's how the church acts so many times. Just subliminal. And we share all these stories we don't even know. On fact book. Just as we live in this life and we move because there's a reason to move, so do we in Christ. Watch what Acts 17 and 27. That ye should seek the Lord. Seeking's moving. If haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from any one of you. Wow. Have you ever stood in the darkness and been close to somebody and they're going, where are you? And you're right there. And they're going all over. And you're right. You're just following them around. You can blindfold somebody and get real close to them and never, they can't see. You've got to feel after him. If happily you might, there he is right there. Don't move. There he is right there. Feel after him because he's a spirit. And you have to, you don't know the wind bloweth where it listeth, to hear the sound there, but don't know which way it goes, right? Where it comes from, where it goes. You just got to feel, is this of the Lord or not of the Lord? Ooh, I got that unction. I feel this is of the Lord. And so we need to move as the Spirit prompts us to move. That unction that he's talking about is that you have an unction in you. Amen. It's a spirit that prods you and it's like, don't second guess it, folks. That's where we go wrong. Everyone that got anything from Christ moved when they had time to pray about it. You see, I'm talking to you about moving and living in the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit in a minute. You don't have to pray about everything. If you're doing that, you're not living in the Holy Ghost. Might as well tell you now. You pray when you don't know what to do. That's when you pray. You look at all the prayers. They pray. Even Jesus went to the garden to pray because he really didn't want to go. And he thought, well, there's some other way. Let's do that. But when you move in the Holy Ghost, you just move. Because you know you're moving, your steps are ordered of the Lord. But if you get to a snag in your road, it's like Yogi Berra said, you get to a fork, take it. You don't know which road to take, then sometimes you do have to stop and say, Lord, reveal to me which direction. They both look like, I'm not sure. And the Lord will prompt you what to do. I mentioned in the prayer room back there, I had something on tell him, I said, I'll wait. Because you have to understand, God works against all the odds. Against all the odds. So if we're waiting on odds to be in our favor, it's not faith. No, the odds are in your favor, right? And so when you look at David, he slays a bear and a lion. That's what he was trying to relate to Saul. I slew a bear and a lion, not with a slingshot, not with a spear, not with a gun or anything. I slew my bare hands. Now, what's the odds of that? A bear and a lion. What's the odds of that? And this dude is like them. And he's going, what's the odds of that? Same odds. Same odds. It's not practical. And they didn't believe that he could do it. He wanted to try this armor. He said, no, I'm not proving that. I've proven that. God can go against all the odds. Walking around the walls of Jericho, what's the odds of that? Raising from the dead, what's the odds of that? I mean, so many things. Daniel going into the lion's den and surviving that King Darius comes out and says, Daniel, what about your God? And he said, live on forever, O king. What's the odds of that? What's the odds of three Hebrew children being thrown into the fire that slew the men who built the fire? And they come out with not even the smell, not even a singe. Only thing that burned off was the ropes. What's the odds of that? So why do we not pray about things that look like there's no way? But many times we only pray about things like, well, it could happen, so I'm going to pray harder about it. But the reason I'm telling you this is because my mom had a little high blood pressure problem and see little flickers of lights and stuff. And I said, Mom, you better get you some help. I said, I'll pray for you. But at your age and health, you know, her mom had a stroke and had high blood pressure, and she's not on any medication at all. And I said, you need to go to urgent care and get checked. So she goes to urgent care. They sent her immediately to the emergency room. I was headed to Beaumont. Jerry and I was headed to Beaumont, and I said, I need to call my mom. See, something just said, you need to check on your mom before you go too far. Because I said, you know, if I get in Beaumont and find out. So I called her. I said, I want to make sure she's all right before I got too far. And she said, son, they're sending me over. I said, whoop, turning around.
You know, so I get there, you know, and meet her there, and I sit down there, and I'm not there long before Sister Clopper sent me a text and said, please pray for my dad. His kidneys have shut down, and we don't know why, and he's in the emergency room at Memorial Hospital. Guess where we were at? What's the odds of that? I've never been in the emergency room with her at all. And when she texted me, I said, yeah, I'll pray. And I said, I'll get some more people to pray. She texted me back and said, please pray harder. This is happening, all this is happening. Well, I'm looking around. I said, they must be at the other hospital. Because I said, because I'm here in the emergency room. I don't see anybody. They were in the back. Okay. And it was her dad, Brother Hafer. And so once I saw your brother come in, right? Huh? Right? This is what happened. This is what happened, brother. So when he came in, I saw him and his wife come in and then out come to meet the family. So I said, well, I'm at the right place. So I went over there and they asked me to come in and pray for him in the emergency room. So I went back there with Brother Wallace Manuel and his wife. And I went back there and prayed for Brother Hafer. And I'm telling you, he was distressed. His face was flushed and everything. And they said they've taken some CAT scans, two different CAT scans, and he's got a blockage, and that's why his kidneys are shutting down, they thought, because he's not getting any water passing through. And so on the way walking there, the Lord just told me to tell him, even now. You know the story of even now, right? That's one of the most powerful sermons that can ever be preached. When Lazarus had died and Jesus is on the way to the tomb and he's dead and Martha said, you'd have been here yesterday. He said, do you believe your brother shall live? She said, yeah, in the resurrection. And she said, but even now, I know that whatsoever you ask the Father, he will do it. So no matter how bad your situation is, yours, you may be on your last breath, but even now. And so we prayed for Brother Hafer, and I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost was in that room. You could feel it. You know what I'm talking about? You could feel. You know what it is to feel it? Do y'all know what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about we just had a good prayer. I'm talking about you could feel it. So anyway, I went back to tend to my mom, and so I'm thinking, what's the odds of that, you know? And so I get, here comes Zan's son, find him. He's frantic, you know, he's finding. I was in the emergency room with her. By that time, they'd moved us to the back. And he come got me and said, they want you to come pray for Brother Hafer before they take him in for surgery. I'm like, I've already prayed for him once. I don't know. Maybe he's mistaken. I said, who sent you to come get me to pray for him? I thought maybe he didn't know. He said, my mom. I said, well, let's go. And I'm telling you, it's like you ever been to Memorial Hospital? It's just like a puzzle. And we got there, and she wanted me to come pray right before they took him in, which I was grateful that they did. And I'm telling you, I said, I'm the same guy with the same prayer, but we're going to pray again. And we prayed more. The family was there, you know. And I'm telling you, as soon as we got through praying, they come got him. I mean, within seconds of us getting through praying, they come got him. And they took him into surgery to do an exploratory surgery to find out what was wrong. Next text I get is, Brother Baggett, God is good. Said they went in there and could not even find. Am I correct? That hadn't changed, has it? They couldn't find anything in him that was doing the blockage. I checked before I come to church, and he's beginning to get some water flow and he's improving. He's not out of the woods. You keep praying. But what's the odds of that, you see? So we have to understand, if the world knew what we know, they ought to serve him. But you would think that they would, but they don't understand it. For Jesus said, though a man be raised from the dead, they won't believe, right? They don't want to believe. But you have an unction that they don't have. You have a Holy Ghost. You have a spirit inside of you that understands and feels these things. I felt it when we prayed. I knew. I said, he's going to be fine. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I'm telling you, that moment we touched the Lord. And so I'm talking about moving in the Holy Ghost. And I go, that's why I had to turn around. That's why I had that. That's why you had that. And the Lord just knows how to put things together that man could not do on his own. And that's the beauty of us that live for God. We see this day in and day out till it almost becomes common that it shouldn't be. But the world doesn't see that. To them, it was luck. It was coincidental. No, nothing just happens to those that walk by faith. Our steps are ordered of the Lord. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Thank him for that.
Amen. Paul writes in Acts chapter 17, verse 28, he said, "For in him, we live." Guess what? We move. "And we have our being," or our existence. "As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are his offsprings." My God, you see, I've got part of my mom and my daddy. They're still living inside of me. My dad's gone 10 years today. 10 years today, am I correct? 10 years today, he passed away, and I live on. See? Well, what we are, the offsprings, when you were born again into this thing, you live on. Y'all not catching this. See, we never die. He said, "He that believeth in a life shall never die." We live on because we are his offsprings, and those things that are born of him are eternal. The things that are born of men are temporal. And so we have this everlasting life within us. He that saves his life loses it. He that loses his life saves it and has everlasting life. So Paul is saying, in him I move and I have my being. I live inside of him and he lives inside of me. Amen. And so when we look at Paul and his conversion and we look at outside influences of people that even, you know, godly people, quote unquote, can lead you astray. Yes, sir. I'm telling you some of the worst advice I ever got. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And so we have to be careful. So Paul said, you know what? When I was struck down, he's telling his story. When I was struck down on the road to Damascus, he said, I immediately conferred not with flesh and blood. I decided this is me and God. And if I go talk to the Sanhedrin court, they're going to talk me out of it. If I go talk to the Apostle Peter and say, yeah, brother, come on, come on. No, I want to know that God is moving inside of me. I want to know that this is a God thing and not a man thing. I want to experience this for myself and not just you. I want to be an eyewitness of this thing and not go off of your witness. So he said, I didn't want to talk to nobody about this. I wanted to experience this for myself. And so Paul has this massive conversion. Many of them don't believe it, but he does. And so now he's got some disciples kind of following him, believing in him. And now he's headed to Jerusalem on two different occasions. And let's see what happens in Acts chapter 20 and 22. Because he's going to meet resistance from his own brothers and sisters. And now, behold, he said unto them, he said, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. How do you go bound in the Spirit? I'll show you. Not knowing the things that shall befall me there. I'm bound by that. I don't know what I'm fixing to get into, save that the Holy Ghost witnessed in every city, saying that bounds in affliction abide me. He said, this I do know. I'm bound in the Spirit because there's some things I don't know, but the Holy Ghost let me know. Before I go, you're going to suffer many things for my sake. You're going to be bound when you get to these cities. But none of these things moved me. None of these things made me change my mind, my direction, my thinking. None of these things moved me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish. I might finish. See, problem is, if you're not careful, you listen to too many voices. I tell people that when you need to counsel, counsel with one person, max two, one person. Because if you go counseling to all these people, they're all going to have different opinions. And some of the worst people you can counsel with your own family, because they're going to feel for you fleshly. And they're going to many times lead you astray. Not intentional, but they do. I might finish my course with joy and the ministry. I want to finish my ministry, which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify of the gospel and of his grace. So Paul was, knowing the affliction that would lie ahead, he was not deterred from going. But he would be better prepared once he got there because the Holy Ghost said, you're headed into trouble, Paul. So he was not caught by surprise when he got there. And sometimes you need to know when you're headed into trouble, not to change your mind. The Holy Ghost wasn't trying to tell him, boy, you better watch it when you get there. It was trying to tell him, Paul, when you get there, now this is what's going to happen. So you better be ready for it, that you don't be caught unaware. I like it when the Holy Ghost tells me that. I've already got my spirit conditioned. There's trouble lying ahead, but I know what the Lord told me to do. All right? So, you know, you would read throughout the Bible, at one place they said, the Holy Ghost bade us not to go into that city. We're going to listen to that one. Another time he said, bounds await you. But another time the Holy Ghost said, don't go there. So we didn't go there. I'm talking about moving in the leading of the Holy Ghost and not really knowing why sometimes. All right? Then we look at Acts 21 and 10, and it says, as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet. Now watch this close. A certain prophet named Agabus. This is a man of God. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver into the hands of the Gentiles. Paul, are you listening to me? The Holy Ghost told me this. And now watch, you're not going to catch this, but I'm going to unravel it in a minute. See, the Holy Ghost is telling Agabus what to tell Paul. This is what's going to happen to you. But when we heard these things, both we and they at that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Paul, look, pal, we love you, man, but don't do this. You're headed into some pain. This is some real suffering. You know, that church, if you go over there, you're going to get hurt. You know, if you go witness to those people, they're going to reject you. Why go get rejected? And they were feeling for him. They were feeling for his flesh, but really trying to lead him in the wrong direction. They were actually hurting him, and he tells them that. And Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not only to be bound only, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, see, that's what I liked about Paul. He was fully persuaded. That's when you live and move and have your being in this thing. Cast down, but not destroyed. Perplexed, but not, you know, all these things he went through. He said, it doesn't move me. We see saying, so all these others that was saying, oh no, don't go, Paul, this is what's going to happen. The will of the Lord be done. Now that's what you need to do. I don't understand it. You know, see, Agabus was not wrong in telling him this will befall thee. He was a prophet. He was not wrong in telling him that. But when the other people, he said, when we heard it, we said, oh, no, Paul, because that guy's right. You know, he's a man of God. So many times when we hear something's going to go astray or going to go bad, we immediately try to talk people out of doing it, right? Because we don't want to see them suffer. We don't like conflict. Nobody does. But especially your own blood kin, you don't want to see them go through anything. So you try to find an easier way for them, right? Even Jesus, let's face it, tried to find an easier way. But he said, not my will, the easy way, but thy will be done. See, our problem is that when we do something that we thought was the leading of the Spirit and it turns out bad, we feel like we were out of the will of God. Now, this is where I really want to talk to you, so listen up. Many times we do something, we think, boy, I feel like the Lord led me to do this, you know, and then you do it and it turns out what you think is bad, and you go, man, I just thought, sure, the Lord was leading me into this, and you feel embarrassed because you told your friends, oh, the Lord showed me this. But you have to understand that when you make a decision that you believe is spiritual, that you do not judge that decision so quickly based upon a temporary outcome. I'm telling you, many times other people say, or you would say, if I'd known that, I wouldn't have done it. But it really was the Lord that led you to make the decision. But the last song has not been sung. The last verse has not been written. Last act has not been performed. Judge nothing before its time. And so we have to realize that when we look at our decisions we make and the temporary outcome of it, we go, man, I just thought, sure. Do not beat yourself up. When we look at the life of Joseph, we could say this. We could say, if his daddy hadn't have made him that coat, if his daddy wouldn't have made him that coat, that boy wouldn't have gotten into trouble. Well, okay, if that boy wouldn't have told that dream to those brothers and he'd just shut his mouth up, then he wouldn't have got thrown in that pit. Yeah, that's right. But if he would, if he was walking in the what the Lord was leading him to do, the Bible said, in that scripture says from the very onset, he had favor and God was with him. You hear that? With him. So if we judge what happened by a pit and by a bloody coat and the betrayal, guess what? You've missed it already. It was all God's will, the bloody coat. It was all God's will, the pit. All of that. So in the end, the prophecy that was given to his, like his grandpa, Abraham, would come true. That they would be led into captivity for 400 years, but later come out with great substance. He was the man that got them there. He was the little God that said, y'all meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So if we judge things based upon a decision tomorrow, you're going to have, you're going to go up and down trying to live for God. When you make a decision, so Lord, I felt like that's what you wanted me to do, then stand on it. Stand on it. Amen. It's hard to believe what I'm fixing to tell you here, but it is true. When you look at the life of Samson, we always preach about Samson, how he shouldn't have done this. And I've preached about what he shouldn't have done. It's a lot easier to preach about what people shouldn't have done than what they did. Samson loved a woman that was outside the church. And I'm telling you, my kids, you're going to date in church. I said, oh, another thing you're going to do is you're going to find somebody that lives around here. Because I'm not moving. I don't care how many grandbabies y'all have. I live here. It's y'all that moves and not me. You can bring them to me if you want to move out of the town, but I'm staying here. It worked. It worked. Praise the Lord. But when you think about, you know, I wouldn't advise anybody to tell your kids, it's okay to date outside the church. I would never tell you that. But listen close. Samson was a Nazarite from his mother's womb, right? All right, so he's called of God from his mother's womb. And so he loves this woman of Timnah, this Philistine woman. And he tells his mother and father, I want her. She pleases me. And they say, son, can't you find one of our own Pentecostals? Can't you find one that's just like us? Can't you find one without having to go out in the world? Can't you find? And so they're arguing with him. He said, and his answer was, but she pleases me. Them other little girls, they don't please me. This girl pleases me. And this is what you missed in the story, the untold story of Samson. Judges 14:4. But his father and mother knew not that it was of the Lord. Why? That he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. See, he caused him to fall in love with a Philistine woman, and they killed his wife, and he retaliated. And they went back and forth. So finally, they poke out his eyes, grind him around like a mule around it, and finally his hair begins to grow, and then he gets led out on a little leash like a dog, and he says to the little lad, he said, where's the two pillows? And he said, right here and right here. He said, good. And he pushes them, and they all fall down. And the Bible says this was the beginning of the deliverance of Israel. Now, how do you figure that? So what I'm trying to tell you, you can only do so much. And if you make decisions, then let's just let God do the rest. Let's let God do the rest. They did not know this was of God because he sought an occasion to deliver Israel. And the Bible says he killed more in his death than he did in all of his life. My, my, my. Oh, my. I would never let, if my son's name Hosea, I'd never let him wear a whore. You know the story of Hosea, right? Do you? That don't seem right. But that was God's way of showing us his love for Israel. And when we look at the life of Christ, did he not take ridicule for being friends of publicans and sinners? He can't be of God. Look at him. He's a friend of publicans and sinners. Look at him. He ought to know that woman's a sinner. But it was his way of moving with the Spirit to wherever he would be received. My Lord. Let me tell you, the Spirit many times leads you and you don't know why you're doing what you're doing. When you live inside of this, you don't know why you're doing what you're doing. Quick story of Elijah and the Shunammite woman. You remember she had no children, right? And so she gets a young boy because of her courtesy to the man of God and his servant. And so she has this little boy and he dies, right? And so the little boy dies and she's upset. I mean, she's like, didn't I tell you not mess with me? She is so upset. She tells her servant, sadly asks, I'm headed to that man of God and don't you stop unless I tell you. Don't slack up riding unless I bid you. And so here's Gehazi meets her. He says, man, I don't know, master, something wrong. And she says, how are you? He said, all is well. All is well. Just all is well. Give me to that man. And so when he saw her countenance coming, he said, her soul is vexed. Now listen close. And the Lord hath hid it from me. He didn't tell him that the child died. And you might say, well, why didn't the Lord tell me this was coming? And other people tell you, well, if you're so spiritual, why didn't you know? Look, I'm going to tell you something. I have learned to just walk. You hear me? I just walk. And whatever happens is going to happen. I can't help it. I'll live with it, and I'll live through it, and I'll live above it. But if you keep second guessing, you know, the hardest people to deal with are these. You never know whether they're up or down or anything. That, and you'll do that in your spiritual life. You'll be up one day and down one day, up one day and down one day. And you know, you really can't figure those people out. You don't know whether to use them or don't use them. But if you're consistent living for God and you don't let trouble bring you down, you realize that the path that God has for you is of God and not of men. And he'll take even your mistakes and make something good come out of it. How many of you is a witness to that? Amen. Knowing that the Holy Ghost will always prosper and it will never return void, I choose to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost with everything that I do. Now, you know when you consume things on your own lust. You know that. Don't kid yourself. You know that. But in Acts chapter 5, I'll quickly go through this if I can. Acts chapter 5, we have to understand the power of living a life of Christ and never going against the Spirit. In one place he says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. We have to be careful, even as a body of Christ, that we don't grieve the Holy Spirit and hurt everybody else. See, my hand can hurt my whole body if I let it. We have to not grieve the Holy Spirit. So when we look at a time in the Christian development of the early church, they wanted to sell and have all things common. You remember that? And I preached about communism because they wanted all things common. That's what communism is. And so they thought they'd sell. Everybody would sell everything and we'll just have one pool and we're just going to stay right here. That was the fallacy of it. They were going to stay right there and just serve and they were going to have their own little commune. Come on, that's what it was. That's what it was. We're just going to stay right here. And so the Lord had to send persecution. Well, guess where the persecution started? It didn't start from outside. It started from the inside. For they said, we sold everything. He come to two people named Ananias and Sapphira, husband and wife. He said, Paul already knew. He said, have you sold all that you had? Talking to the man first. He said, yeah, I've sold everything we had. Here it is. And he said, why have you lied to the... Uh-oh. He said, you've not lied to me. You've lied to the Holy Ghost. It is a dangerous thing, my brothers and sisters, to fall into the hands of a living God. And they drug him out, or her, whichever one was first. But the other one comes in. He didn't tell. He kind of set him up. He set him up. He brought the other one in. Hey, is it so that y'all sold everything and gave it to the house of the Lord? Oh, yes, it's so. He said, why do you lie to me like your husband? Why is it you conspired to do this? And she dropped dead, and they drug her out. I'm telling you, and that's when the persecution of things began to rattle them because they realized people are people. They realized money still answers all things. And so they realized we better, and the Lord sent persecution, so they spread out. And they really did then live the way they were supposed to live. You never, ever want to come against the work of God. Real quick, Acts chapter 5, verse 34. Then stood up there, up one in the council, a Pharisee by name Gamaliel, Sanhedrin court, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. Peter and John, boy, that lame man got so much attention. They were beating them and everything. And boy, the church was growing. 3,000 was added to it. And here's all the people just complaining. They took this thing to the Supreme Court. Y'all pray for our Supreme Court. It's in trouble. Speaking of that, they took this thing to their Supreme Court. And Gamaliel, like being the top of this court system, a doctor of the law, of reputation above all the people, he said, y'all give them a little space. Wait a minute. Give them a little space. And this is what he said. And he said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what intent to do as touching these men. These men are led by the Spirit. And this is what I'm trying to tell you. Leave the spiritual people alone. For before these days rose up Thetis, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain. And all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. Have y'all forgotten about that? After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew as many much people after him. He also died. He perished. And all, even as many as obeyed him, were displeased. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men. They're spiritual men. And let them be alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But listen close. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found to fight against God. How many of you want to fight against God? My Lord, I don't want to fight against God. There's some things you need to know you better leave alone. If people are operating in the spirit and somebody wants to talk about that, leave that conversation out, lest you be drawn in like these other people that perish with them. Leave that out of your conversation. Well, nobody's shouting over that. And that's not, I'm not talking about just me. I'm talking about spirit-filled people. People that are operating in the Holy Ghost. Leave them out. Or you won't criticize somebody else. That's fine. But let me tell you, if it's of God, God will take care of them in his own way. As they come tonight, I'm going to try to hurry. I know I'm running short of time here. Peter, in our text, had talking about the mountain of transfiguration and Moses and Elijah and Jesus, all we heard the voice and we have this more sure word of prophecy. Knowing this first, he said, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old day by the will of man. Wow. But holy men of God spake as they were moved. I don't even know why I'm prophesying this. Thus saith the Lord. And they were, David was saying stuff that it would be thousands of years before it would happen. And they were just, I don't even make any sense. How many of you ever said something didn't make any sense, but it came to pass? Man, it don't make any sense what I just said. Moved by the Holy Ghost. These old prophets would go, And the word of the Lord came unto me and said, thus saith the Lord. And they would say it. Honey, that came to pass. You could fight it all you want to, but it's going to come to pass. And I believe that's not changed today. I believe when holy men are moved of the Holy Ghost, I just feel like that's going to come to pass. The disciples got kind of, Lord, how are we going to know these false prophets from these true ones? He said, it's real simple. If it comes to pass, it's of the Lord. If it doesn't, it's not of me. Now, some things come to pass not as you think they should come to pass, but they still come to pass. Amen. And I want to close with this thought, which is perhaps the most important thought. The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. You can shout all you want to, speak in tongues all you want to, you can do, but that's not the sons of God. That doesn't say when you speak in tongues, you're the sons of God. That's not what it says. It says when you're led by the Spirit. Now, people that are led by the Spirit may go through that, but being led by the Spirit is a life of living for God, a lifetime of living for God. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Praying, this is my thought, praying about everything should tell you that you're not walking in the Spirit. Because many times you will pray about things you already know the answer to. Because the Lord's already told you. That's wasted prayer. That's wasted time. Find something else to pray about other than what God has already told you. Because all you're going to do is get mixed up. And sometimes, you know what he says? Okay, go ahead. That's what you want to do. Go ahead. I'll give you Bible proof of that. Keep praying a certain way that you want. He says, okay, go ahead. Go do that. But when you live in the Spirit and you walk in the Spirit, I don't pick up hitchhikers. But one time I did. And you know why I did? The Lord said, pick that man up. And I don't do that. I looked in that mirror. I was like, you sure, Lord? He looks pretty raunchy. And he had a little ice chest with him. Could have been a gun in there, you know. But I knew I heard the voice of the Lord. Now, I'm glad nobody was with me because they'd have talked me out of it. My wife wasn't with me. My kids weren't with me. Just me and the Lord. I turned around. I said, you need a ride? He said, boy, I sure do. He was right outside De Quincy. I said, where are you headed? He said, Sanger. It wasn't Brother Buddy. Sanger. And I said, well, hop in. I'll give you a ride. I gave him a ride, and I preached Jesus to him all the way. And when he got out, he said, sir, I don't know who you are, but please pray for me and my family. I still pray today for whoever that man was. Hallelujah. I'm talking about following the leading of the Spirit. Hallelujah. In an everyday walk, I didn't have to say, well, let me go down the road here, stop and pray about it for about 30 minutes. He'd been gone, you know, he'd been tired by that time. But I just knew this was the Lord. And when Chantel Clopper texted me and said, I just knew this is the Lord. Hallelujah. You know when it's of the Lord because you're living inside the realms of His Spirit. I hope you understand what I'm speaking of tonight. So don't pray about things you already know the Spirit, what the Spirit wants you to do. But pray about things, Lord, I'm not real sure about what to do with this. Direct me and give me directions. And then when you make up your mind that this is what the Lord wants you to do, do not second guess it when tomorrow it is like, oh, what? The pit was dark. The palace was bright. He could have said, I wished I hadn't. I told my half-brothers that dream I had. Now look at me. It's not what Joseph did. Don't second guess your spiritual decisions. Will you do that? How many of this is going to help you? Going to help you? Let's stand and sing a song before we get out of here. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let us move inside your Spirit, Lord. Live, have our being inside the Holy Ghost, Lord. Hallelujah. Prompt us, Lord. Move us. Give us that unction. I'll say, woo.